I'm tracking severe storms moving into our viewing area. A brand new severe thunderstorm warning issued, including portions of Wake County. I'll have a radar update and storm tracks coming up.
All right, Kat, we have two breaking stories right now at 7. New information in the last 30 minutes from Highland Park, Illinois, on the deadly parade shooting on the 4th of July.
And in Raleigh, police are still at the scene of a deadly shooting that happened more than 6 hours ago. A live report from the WRL breaking news tracker just ahead.
See cranes in the sky and new developments coming to town. It's not the same on the other side of the freeway, but a new developer coming to the Haytai community could change this landscape.
Live from WRAL News headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Right now, you are looking live at Lake Gaston and at Chapel Hill. Storms are moving through our area, and a brand new warning was just issued for Wake County. Hello, everyone. I'm Deborah Morgan.
And I'm Gerald Owens. This is a live look at the dual Doppler 5000. You can see all the activity to the north and west of our area right now, but it is moving in this direction.
Meteorologist Kat Campbell is in the WRL Severe Weather Center to track this system hour by hour. Kat?
The concern this evening and tonight would be damaging wind gusts, 60-mile-per-hour wind gusts. That's our main concern. And you can see a lot of thunderstorms in the triad that are going to be moving into the western part of our viewing area. But right now, the focus is on the storms in the northern part of our viewing area, just north of the triangle right now. A new severe thunderstorm warning has been issued. This is in effect for 45 more minutes. It includes portions of Granville, southern Vance County, Franklin County, and even northern Wake County, Falls Lake, Rollsville, as well as Wake Forest in this warning. So the storm track showing Wake Forest, the storm should arrive within the next 30 minutes about Harris Crossroads 7:44 p.m., Rainer 7:45 p.m., Wake Crossroads 8:10, Rollsville 8:12, and Rocky Mount, if these thunderstorms are able to hold together as they continue to move to the east-southeast, 8:13 p.m. This is just one of our storm risks that we have this week today. It's a level one threat for severe weather, but that threat is going to increase as we get into tomorrow. So let's take a closer look at the timeline. For this evening, you can see the two areas of storms that we are tracking. Future cast showing once we get past sunset, we see some weakening of these storms, but we are keeping in a chance of a storm through about midnight tonight. Tomorrow, it's a dry start to the day, but once we get past lunchtime into the afternoon, storms begin to develop. And we're likely to see more widespread storm coverage tomorrow. So if you don't look out on the rain today, there are better chances for rain tomorrow. Now, this is some much needed rain that we could see tomorrow. They issue a level two threat for severe weather for the entire state. I'll have a closer look at the concerns with the heat tomorrow coming up in 15 minutes.
All right, Kat, we'll see in a few minutes. Thank you.
We have several developments coming from police in Highland Park, Illinois. Let's get you caught up on the latest information right now at 7. In the last 30 minutes, the district attorney announced Robert Cremo III is charged with 7 counts of murder. More charges are expected soon. Cremo will be in front of a judge tomorrow. At 4:30, police identified 6 of the 7 people who died. They range in age from 35 to 78. And this is a new surveillance picture released today of the suspect, Robert Cremo. Police say he dressed in women's clothing and tried to blend in with the crowd as they ran for their lives after he fired 70 rounds from a rifle.
Gerald, here's some of the additional new information from that briefing on your screen right here, as now those 7 counts of first-degree murder charges have been rolled out. The state's attorney saying they will be seeking a mandatory life sentence here, asking the suspect be held without bail. The state's attorney says the suspect will face, that is key, he says, will face additional charges. Take a listen to the brand new information right now at 7 o'clock.
Today, the Lake County State's Attorney's Office has charged Robert Cremo III with 7 counts of first-degree murder for the killing spree that he has unleashed against our community. These are just the first of many charges that will be filed against Mr. Cremo. I want to emphasize that. There will be more charges.
We'll certainly keep you updated as more briefings are expected later this evening. New information as we get it here in the WRL Live Center.
Thank you, Mark. Updates now to the breaking news in Raleigh we've been following since 4 o'clock. A shooting in the middle of the afternoon at a gas station on Newbern Avenue is deadly. Eric Miller is live in the WRL breaking news tracker with what he's learning at the scene. Eric?
Deborah, after 6.5 hours of police being here on the scene, officers in the last couple of minutes finally took down that crime scene tape that surrounded this Exxon station right off New Bern Avenue near the intersection with Trawick. You take a look at some video we got from the scene here earlier, though, you can see a much larger police presence there. Forensics teams here on scene pouring over this area for hours on end. Police say one person was shot right around 1:30 this afternoon, was rushed a mile away to Wake Med Hospital, but was pronounced dead when they got there. They have said they have a suspect in this case, and have said that suspect fled the gas station heading east on New Bern, driving an early 2000s Toyota Camry, painted black hood and silver rims. They say they do have video of that suspect and the car that came from this area. We're trying to get a look at that video now to give you all a better idea of who police are looking for. As things stand this evening, we haven't been told of any arrests and are working to learn more as police continue their investigation. Back to you.
Eric Miller, live in Raleigh. Thank you, Eric.
Let's take a look now at some of the other local stories we're following tonight at 7.
I'm Matt Talhelm in Raleigh, where a ban on dangerous wild animals goes into effect in 60 days. City Council approved that ban in a 6-2 vote. This is the first change to regulations in response to the escape of that venom-spitting zebra cobra in a North Raleigh neighborhood last year. The ban includes any non-domesticated animal which is normally found in the wild state and is inherently dangerous to person or property. It will go into effect September 3rd. Current owners can keep their animals, but they will be required to register them with the city starting July 1st next year. They'll also have to agree to immediately report an escape. The zebra cobra owner admitted in court he didn't do that, and the snake was loose for 7 months before it was recaptured. Anyone who violates this ordinance could have their animal seized and face a $500 fine per animal per day. Matt Talhelm, WRAL News, Raleigh.
I'm Sarah Kruger in Durham. Some economists are predicting that gas prices may fall in the coming weeks, and it may not be a good thing. I spoke with a UNC economist today who said it depends on the reason behind the decline. He thinks it could be caused by fears of a recession that makes economic activity slow, and thus demand for gas and price for gas goes down.
If the markets are doing this because they fear a recession, then a recession, in my opinion, is worse than higher gasoline prices. I'd rather not have a recession and have somewhat higher gasoline prices.
He said it's impossible for him to predict how much price per gallon could drop. Sarah Kruger, WRAL News in Durham.
This 10-acre site in the Haytai community in Durham could look very different soon. Out-of-town developers have purchased the plot and a plan now to put up a mixed-use office lab and residential space right along Fayetteville Street. WRAL's Monica Casey spoke with the members of the Haytai community about what they want for the area.
Business owners and Haytai residents say the new development at Heritage Square is good news if it's done right. Marquis Douglas has lived in the Haytai community for 26 years, currently working at the Haytai Barbershop. He believes a new development nearby could be good for Haytai.
If everything is kind of affordable, you know, that'd be great. Also not pushing the black-owned business over here out of business, that'd be great, too, if they don't.
His longtime customer, Maurice Copeland, has questions about the coming construction.
Basically, how are they going to improve the quality of life of the city that they're coming to make money in?
Sterling Bay, Akram Group, and Harrison Street are working together on the project. In a statement, a Sterling Bay spokesperson wrote, quote, "We look forward to getting to work, meeting with local residents and stakeholders, and making progress on programming and design." The mixed-use project is currently planned to have office space, laboratories, and residential units. It's just one block away from Daryl Scott's restaurant in the shared Haytai Collective Kitchen and Cocktails.
And I think if it's representative and inclusive of what the community was historically, I think that would be great.
He's feeling positive about the possibilities.
But anytime you bring more businesses down and more people, that should help the area.
We do not yet have details about what this development will include, but the three companies purchased this 10-acre site. Monica Casey, WRAL News in Durham.
The developers also say in their news release that they want to be respectful of the area's history and include residents in the planning process. We have not yet been told a construction timeline.
It is official. Raleigh has given the green light to a new social district that will allow people to stroll down the streets of downtown with a drink in hand. Today, the city council extended the district to include the warehouse district near Union Station. All of Fayetteville Street and City Market also included. Starting August 15th, bars and restaurants can start selling to-go drinks from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day. The rules require drinks to be served in a clear cup that is no larger than 16 ounces. Businesses can opt in or out of this. And customers will also be able to take their drinks inside participating shops and businesses.
A Triangle Area Research Institute is partnering with several HBCUs to support scientists in their work to learn more about our health.
Coming up, the role North Carolina schools will play in this big project.
Plus, crowds gathered along the street in a small North Carolina town today. What had them all looking up?
And two traffic alerts you'll want to hear about tonight so you can plan ahead for tomorrow's commute. Kat?
And we're tracking storms on the dual Doppler 5000 radar this afternoon. We're going to see even more activity on the days ahead. I'll let you know which areas could luck out on the most rain this week coming up.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV. Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news, WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
RTI is partnering with several historically black colleges and universities across the country and right here in Central North Carolina to support scientists and their research. Dr. Sula Hood with RTI is one of the program's leaders and joins us now live tonight to talk about the significance of this opportunity. Dr. Hood, thanks so much for joining us. We understand this is an NIH-funded project. So how much money are you receiving and what's the vision for the program?
Yes, we are receiving large amounts of money that we are utilizing to support HBCUs around the country. I'll just tell you a little bit about what the program is supporting. The All of Us Researcher Program is a national initiative led by the National Institutes of Health, and we are recruiting people from diverse backgrounds all around the country so that we can advance medical breakthroughs. We are intentional with the All of Us Researcher Academy at RTI about supporting HBCUs and ensuring that they have a space and that they are included in the communities of scientists that are making these medical breakthroughs. As you mentioned, we're working with researchers all throughout the country, including researchers that are based at North Carolina HBCUs.
But I wanted to ask you, talk specifically about North Carolina HBCUs and how this is going to help research taking place here.
Yes, we are working with several HBCUs in North Carolina, and we are supporting researchers across the continuum. This includes faculty at HBCUs that do research, as well as students and fellows. For faculty members, this will really support them in the advancement of their career, such as increases in publications, grants, and other opportunities to support their research. And once again, really affording them to be a part of the space of scientists that are doing medical breakthroughs by analyzing this data. Additionally, when it comes to students and fellows, this really sets them up for opportunities to go to graduate school and also start their careers as scientists. One of the things that I'm very passionate about and excited about is the fact that HBCUs instill a sense of belonging. And we are really going along with that thread of belongingness for the HBCU effort that we're leading. And so we really want to make sure that HBCU researchers know that they have a space, that they belong, and that they are a part of the community of scientists that are making these important medical breakthroughs.
I just have a few seconds left, but yes. I want you to just kind of put on your goggles that look into the future. What kind of medical breakthroughs are you talking about here that we could solve health-wise?
Yes. So because the All of Us Researcher Academy is recruiting a diverse sample of people from different backgrounds, we're going to have the opportunity to learn about the ways in which health issues affect people from different backgrounds. And so we'll be able to do efforts such as individualized medicine or more precision medicine, where we'll have a knowledge about the ways in which health conditions and environmental factors affect people differently. And so this will be a new contribution for science.
Well, we wish you luck, Dr. Sula Hood. Thank you so much. Check back in with us. Let us know what kind of groundbreaking research that you're able to do right here in our area.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
We have two traffic alerts to tell you about that may affect how you get around town. The first change affects Wade Avenue, where it meets Capitol Boulevard in Raleigh. Water crews are in the middle of a sewer improvement project, forcing a closure weekdays from now until Friday, the 18th of July. That closure will be from 9 a.m. until 4 p.m. each day. And in Johnston County, the U.S. 70 West Loop and I-40 is going to close tomorrow. WRO's Brian Schrader created this map to show you where drivers will be detoured off of 70. Drivers should slow down in this area and look for the detour signs. Crews are building a new turbine-style interchange that will connect I-40, U.S. 70, and the 540 toll road. Turn on WRO's Morning News when you wake up to see if there are any issues for drivers. And in case you're wondering, this is what a turbine-style interchange looks like. This is an animation from the DOT showing what this area will look like when the work is done. It's a rare traffic pattern, but engineers say it is effective. Construction will take about 14 months. Meteorologist Kat Campbell joining us now from the WREL Severe Weather Center. Kat, we've seen severe weather warnings, and in our northern counties, it is really coming down.
Yes, it is. Lewisburg right now really seeing the rain come down. Some heavy rain in that area, likely gusty winds. Remember, this is some much-needed rain. A lot of us still really, really need this rain for our yards, so certainly good news that Lewisburg is seeing the rain. We just don't want the strong winds to knock down any trees or anything like that. At this point, there is one severe thunderstorm warning left in our viewing area. It'll remain in effect for about 25 more minutes. We are watching the complex of storms closer to the triad, though those could move closer to Chatham County, Lee County, and Moore County. But the storms that we're tracking moving into Franklin County as well as Wake County are really starting to weaken at this point. We had a pretty robust red line, straight line of storms pushing southeast earlier. You can see it's broken up, not as much red showing up on the radar. Still, there is the potential for lightning and gusty winds and these thunderstorms. And tomorrow, the threat for severe weather increases, but so will our coverage of thunderstorms. So today, it was a 40% chance of storms with a level one risk. Tomorrow and Thursday, a level two risk for severe weather. Storm chances 70% tomorrow, 60% on Thursday. So if you need some rain, at least you'll have better chances in the coming days. It'll be another hot day, 96 the high tomorrow. We're dry through about lunchtime, but after lunchtime, we'll start to see some scattered thunderstorms develop. These are likely to become more widespread, should be intense into tomorrow evening through about sunset or shortly after sunset. And it's a repeat forecast for Thursday. It'll be hot, it'll be humid, and we'll be watching some of these complexes to our north and west. Some of the outflows or the complexes themselves are likely to push into our viewing area as we get into Thursday afternoon and evening. 5 o'clock commute could be messy both tomorrow and Thursday. I don't think that the radar will be covered everywhere for the evening commute, but I would expect at least some communities will be impacted by some of these thunderstorms during the evening commute. But as I mentioned before, this is still really some much needed rain that many of us and many farmers in the area are really cheering on. So let's take a look at our forecast rainfall over the next 5 days. Finally looking promising, our ridge of high pressure developing to the west. That's going to steer these storms our direction, and that means the heaviest rain likely to be over portions of eastern North Carolina, where you see the red here. That's showing more than 2 inches of rain. The western half of North Carolina in the blues here, ranging anywhere from half an inch to an inch and a half of rain. So we finally have at least more sizable rain in the forecast this week. Daily storm chances mainly during the afternoon and evening. Outside this evening, temperatures remain in the lower 90s right now. Some more cloud cover showing up. It'll be another hot day tomorrow. A heat advisory is in effect tomorrow. The heat index could be up to 106. Actual air temperatures in the mid 90s tomorrow. That creates an increased risk for heat exhaustion. This heat advisory in effect from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. tomorrow. Hour by hour, our storm chances are on the rise, especially after lunchtime. Tomorrow evening, that's when we hit a 70% chance of thunderstorms. We're going to be watching these storms very closely for you here in the WRAL Severe Weather Center, both tonight and tomorrow. And then even past that, we have daily storm chances in the forecast all the way through Saturday, you have at least a 50% chance of thunderstorms each day. So it's just going to be a more active dual Doppler 5000 radar during the afternoon. It's hot and it's humid. Low temperatures only in the mid 70s this week. That's a sign that the muggy meter is way up there. It'll be pretty hot through Saturday. Once we get to Sunday, storm chances start to decrease 30%. We could see a front slip through the area, and that could knock our high temperatures down into the 80s for just a couple of days. And I think we'll be ready for a break from the mid 90s by the time we get there, Gerald.
And you're right, Kat. If we can only have the rain without the pain of the strong winds and hail, you can see the wind blowing around that jet ski a little bit on Lake Gaston.
Oh, yeah, some choppy waters out there today.
All right. Thank you, Kat.
Hopefully they're waiting before they leave. A 100-year-old building crumbles to the ground in one of North Carolina's popular small towns. Coming up, the significance of the main oak building and how it fits into the state's history. You can listen to this newscast as a podcast. The WRL News Daily podcast features entire newscasts from beginning to end, morning, noon, evening, and now the 7 p.m. newscasts are added to the podcast each day. You can find WRL News Daily in Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen.
Kat's been talking about it, and we'll continue to be weather aware here this evening. Live pictures from South Hill, Virginia this evening. Lots of rain out there. You can see those dark clouds rolling through, and we're seeing this all across the viewing area and well to our north as well. Look at this new video right now at 7 o'clock. Some aerials over Maryland, where a possible tornado came through that area, snapping some trees and causing some damage. Right there at the top right center of your screen, you can see where that tree was uprooted and causing some damage to cars as well. It's a huge tree on top of those cars. Unclear if any injuries were sustained from the storms that moved through. We'll keep you updated here as we go into the evening, and much more on our website, WRL.com, if you want to track the storm as it moves closer to your neighborhood.
All right, thank you, Mark. A historic building in downtown Mount Airy suddenly collapsed around 4 o'clock this morning. Mount Airy is in Surrey County near the Virginia border. The main oak building crumbled, sending bricks into the street. Fortunately, no one was hurt. These pictures of the damage were shared with WRAL. Inspectors have spent the afternoon out there trying to figure out what caused this collapse. The building is on the state's National Registry of Historic Places. It was built between 1905 and 1910 and was home to the Midkiff Hardware Store for years.
Wow. The city of Raleigh has made some good progress in hiring lifeguards in the past month. At today's council meeting, we learned 54 lifeguards have been hired since Memorial Day. They now have a total of 139 lifeguards. Earlier in the summer, the city had to cut hours to some pools because of the shortage.
Thank you for making WRL your choice for local news.
Our next newscast is at 10 on Fox 50 and at 11 on WRL. Good night.